finances for the extension of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Well, good evening and a special welcome to all the visitors with us. And wasn't it lekker to have the youth playing? I think you guys must do that more often. It was good. Well done. Just a reminder, Thursday night here at the church, combined cell meeting, even if you're not in a cell, I'm going to encourage you to come. Over these last 6 to 7 weeks, we've been watching those videos from the conference, and all the questions that came out of all those videos, we've compiled together. The elders have answered them as best we can, and on Thursday night, we're going to have the questions and the answers. And so I encourage you to come. It's going to be a wonderful time together. What I'd like you to do, take up your Bible, turn to Ephesians 1 verse 6. And I've entitled my message, Accepted in the Beloved. For all those A-class people that have to have a title and it's got to come on the board, sorry for you, you've got to just flow tonight. Amen. Title, Accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 1 verse 6 says this, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He's made us accepted in the Beloved. Now, it's a human vice, and it's kind of in our DNA, that we want to be liked. It's a natural thing. And we'll do whatever we can to get people to like us. We'll do things that we don't like doing. We'll wear things we don't really like wearing. And we'll buy things that we don't really want to buy. Just so people would like us. And we'll do it as long as somebody says, hey, that's nice. And we feel gratified. Oh, I'm glad you like it. Meantime, you hate it. I've got a Greek word. Don't buy it. But I tell you what's even crazier is we believe they really like us because we got it. I mean, that's madness. Why? Because you'll wear two different things on two different days and people say I like it can be completely different. They'll still like it. If I was here in bell bottoms, somebody would say, wait, maybe that's pushing it a bit far, but somebody would say, Brad, I like it. I could come in baggies and say, Brad, I like it. So what do they really like? But you see, achievement, the world says, makes you likable and lovable. When you achieve, the world likes you. When you get results, they like you. Ask your boss. He likes you when you get results. And so it's no wonder that we find people battle with this whole thing of God's grace. Because it's not about your results or your achievement. You see, it's about Jesus' achievement on the cross. You can have the right look, the right car, the right hairstyle. By the way, I've had this hairstyle 45 years. I've gone in and out of fashion 20 times. So I'm going to keep it. Yeah. The right pose. Now really, I see some guys posing and I think that's got to hurt. Really? You cannot wear those pants and pose in that way without feeling cramped. Really. I want to say to them, listen, get a pair of baggies. Peace will descend upon you. It all comes to something we call the acceptance ratio. See, the world's got it. It's this acceptance ratio. I heard a lovely phrase the other day. Get off the treadmill of acceptance. Why? We run. We run on this treadmill. Because we want people to accept us. Take it from me, all the young people tonight. Those friends that put these demands on you, how they accept you are not friends. They're like the diving committee at the Olympics. You do the dive, they hang up a card, a 10, a 9, a 8. Let me tell you what friends are. When you're in trouble, they'll stand next to you. When they're in trouble, they'll lean on you. And they will always encourage you. A friend that doesn't encourage you is not a friend. People, young people, I tell you, there's such pressure on you to have the right friends. Oh, I must have this friend or I must have that friend. Let me tell you that if they are not looking out for your best, they're not a friend. You see, when I was a young boy, one day I went to my dad. I said, Dad, I want to swim. He said, what? You want to go to the public pool now? I said, no, I want to race. He said, okay, son. And so he enrolled me in the swimming club. And so I began to train, and as it turned out, I was a natural swimmer. When I get in the pool, I change into like a dolphin. I get all shiny skin and I go. But just that's the way I'm designed. And so my coach got all excited. Here's this guy, jumps in the pool. What? He hasn't even trained. And so my coach came and got all excited. One day she came to me And I'd been swimming and I got quite good at it and won a whole lot of things. And so she came to me, she said, "Brad, if you knock off 0.2 seconds off your time, you will be eligible for a top title in South Africa. 0.2 seconds. It's all you got to do." So I said, "Well, how do I do that?" She said, "No, we've got this way. What you do is you shave your entire body and then you wear this like lycra cap over your head, because I want you to shave your head. You put this like cap on." And so I looked at her like she had just got 4 eyes and 2 extra ears on her head. I mean, this was madness. I said to her, "No ways. Girls shave and wear those caps on their head, not men." And she got cross with me. I said to her, "What's wrong with me training a bit hard and swimming a little bit faster?" She said, "You'll never do it." I did. I trained harder, I swam faster. And I remember I was on the starting blocks the one day, looking at the two guys either side of me. They had shaved the entire body and were wearing lycra caps. So I said, "Okay, let's see this." We dived in, I won. As they came in, I turned to them. I said, "Okay, Daphne and Gladys, how did that help you?" You see, the tragedy is God made every single one of us unique. We try and be somebody else. Let me tell you that people who you try and get acceptance from don't really care. But God cares. What makes us acceptable? Society is so cruel. It's got all these standards by which we have to live by in order to be accepted by others. It's a brutal system. Something new comes along, you've got to get it, otherwise you're not cool. You know, there's a Greek philosopher, and his name was Diogenes. And so one day they noticed he was begging at the statue in the town square. And so his students went to him and they said, "Diogenes, what are you doing begging at the statue?" He said, "I'm practicing the art of being rejected." That's what he said. But you know, in the world, I tell you, we've got this art of being accepted. We do all these things to be accepted. And so we try and work on this acceptance ratio with the world's formula. Now, the world's got a formula. Let me tell you, if you play the game, you apply the formula, you'll be accepted. But you see, the problem is when we're not accepted. Then we feel unacceptable people. That's who we feel we are. We're unacceptable. People don't accept us, we feel unacceptable. We feel inferior, we lack confidence. Let me tell you, we've got to be very careful, because that can become a way of life. You see people walking around, heads bowed, shoulders are stooped. Somewhere along the line, they felt unacceptable. And the world's rubbed it in. But you see, Galatians 5:1 says this, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Let me tell you, seeking other people's acceptance is like a yoke of slavery that will come upon you. Christ says, "I've come to set you free from that thing." You know what he's saying? He's saying, "I died for you. That's what I did. And I've done everything that you need to have done so you can walk in freedom. Freedom from bondage, approval, this acceptance ratio. I find you acceptable." You know, as I was sitting here this evening, was watching the youth, something just clicked, and I know what it is. It works itself out in our parenting. That our children need to feel accepted. Every child wants to be accepted by their mom or their dad. And I tell you, we can have such an influence on that catalyst. Why? Because God accepts us and it transforms us. And that works itself out into the family. As parents, we've got to accept our children for who God made them to be. Here I was, young dad. Esty's pregnant. I'm styling. I think I'm getting a boy. I'll get a girl. But let me tell you the best thing ever happened to me. Took me 1 second, I fell in love with her. Then what he did was to bless me even more, gave me a second one. Said, "You can have another girl." For the men that have got girls, the dads have got girls, they're the best thing since sliced cheese. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, yeah. But you know what? He gave me 2 girls completely different. Completely different. I won't give you their names. One walks, she makes music as she walks. Her clothes have got bells on. The other one walks differently. Not once did I say to my girls, why aren't you like so-and-so? Or why aren't you like your sister? You know why? I accepted them for who they were. My girls haven't got a competitive bone in their body, except when it comes to Scrabble. Yeah, I was. Yeah, I'm a sportsman. I want to compete in everything. I get two girls. My one daughter lets people win just because she likes seeing them winning. She runs. She's ahead. She says, come, come. This year. She lets them win. I mean, now that's crazy. But let me tell you, I've seen the fruit in their lives because I accepted them for who they are. I've seen the fruit in their lives. As parents, there is such a responsibility upon us to accept our children. But you know who we learn that from? We learn it from God. Because God accepts us no matter who we are. This acceptance of the beloved. He accepts us for who? No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you were, God accepts you. Everyone wants to belong to a gang. I don't know why, but of a gang of some sort. People said to me, Brad, what was it like the gangs in the prison? I said, not much different to the gangs on the outside of the prison. I said, what? Well, there's the gangs that own the BMWs, the gangs that have got the smart shoes, the gangs that go to the sports club. They're all the gangs. Because that's where they find acceptance. Our acceptance comes from the Lord. You see, when we embrace how God thinks of it, it will change you. No longer will you go out finding acceptance from the world. Because you'll know what God thinks about you and what He feels about you. It's His grace. His standard is found in His grace. You cannot measure up, but Jesus has done it for you. Now that's difficult to believe. What? Somebody else did it for me. Just got to believe in what He's done. And it's a free gift. This gift of grace is free. God gives it. All you got to do is receive it. I was saying this morning, God's gift of grace can never be exhausted, but it can be rejected. He will offer it again and again and again and again. We are there to reject this gift that He gives. In Romans 14:18, it says this, whoever serves Christ is acceptable to God. God accepts you because you serve Christ. You know that we are highly favored by God, by this grace that God gives? In one sense, His grace is what He thinks and feels about us. Righteous before Him. As if we had never sinned. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. And He doesn't accept us begrudgingly. Oh, okay, well, I suppose my son did. No! He says, man, this is great! Because He sees what Jesus did for you. He doesn't accept us begrudgingly. He accepts us joyfully. Because we are highly favored. In the book of Ephesians, in that 1 verse 6, the word accepted is a Greek word called charito. Sounds Mexican, but it is Greek. It's called charito. And that word is only used twice in the New Testament. Once here in Ephesians 1:6, and appears again in Luke 1:28, when the angel Gabriel is speaking to Mary. Only two occasions. And he's telling Mary that she's pregnant with the promised Messiah. Gabriel didn't come to her and say, okay, you want to hear the good news or the bad news first? Alright, I'll tell you the bad news. You're pregnant, you're not married, you're going to get stoned. Oh wait, I should have told you the good news first. The good news is you're bearing the Messiah. No, this is what he says. Gabriel says this to Mary. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Same word that's used in Ephesians when Paul speaks. Did you see how God sees? Can you imagine how God saw Mary? Highly favored. She was going to bear the Messiah. In the same way, Paul expresses, God sees us, the believer, exactly the same way as He saw Mary, the mother of Jesus. Same word, saw us the same way. This shouldn't bring down our perception of Mary, but rather should lift up our perception who we are as believers in Christ. We see in the same eyes. God sees us. The fact that we're highly favored tells us something about God's attitude towards us. It's got to. If you're highly favored of somebody, say, I see you as highly favored, straight away you know what that person's thinking, what they're feeling about you. Luke 15:7. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. There is joy in heaven when a sinner repents. Why? Because that's how God sees us through the work of Jesus on the cross. He is excited, enthusiastic, and joyful. Mary found favor with God. Privilege proved it. Mary would not have borne Jesus if she wasn't highly favored. Sees us in the same way. Paul spoke in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in us. We're not bearing Christ the same way Mary did, but we still have Christ in us by His Spirit. It's the evidence that we are accepted by God. Just as an aside, do you know why Jesus rose again? Because God found His sacrifice pleasing. In the Old Testament, the high priest on the Day of Atonement would go into the Holy of Holies. Remember, it was a little curtained off area. And he would go in there to sprinkle the blood on everything. And they would tie a rope to his leg in case he died inside that little curtained off area. The only reason he could die is if God wasn't pleased with the sacrifice. Jesus rose from the dead because God was pleased with the sacrifice. And because we are in Christ, God is pleased with us. And we all have eternal life. It's amazing. You know, when I see all the pictures and the symbolism that the Jews had, I am flabbergasted they don't accept Jesus. There's so many pictures. It's like a movie. And you're not with the program. This is what I can't handle. They're in the desert. They've got the tabernacle. It's the tent and all the things inside. They camp around the tabernacle. You go and look in the Bible. 12 tribes. 3 year, 3 year, 3 year, 3 year. And the Levites around the side. All facing the tabernacle. Now it says in the tabernacle, during the day, there was a cloud. At night, there was a pillar of fire above the Holy of Holies. You've got to be nuts. You wake up in the morning, walk out of your tent. It's God. Yet, they don't accept Jesus. They don't accept Christ when He comes. And then in the desert, they cause all sorts of nonsense. They moan and they groan. What about this? What about that? Yet every morning and every... If that guy woke up 12 o'clock at night to kill a bat in his tent, through the window, he would see a pillar of fire. God's presence. But the next day, he's moaning to Moses. Hey, got nothing to eat. That's got to be nuts. That's what Scripture says. You who haven't seen are more blessed. That's why it says that. You haven't seen. We haven't seen with our physical eyes are more blessed than them. They saw. They had the opportunity. They didn't take it. Where did I get to? Oh, yes. Christ accepts us because who He is, not who we are. That's why God accepts us. We come before God, not in our name, but in Jesus' name. You know that there are benefits of being highly favored. You've got to understand this. When you accept Christ as your Savior, there are benefits attached. You don't go on probation. Isn't that so nice? God doesn't say, okay, you've accepted Christ. I'm going to give you 3 months, Brad. Let's see how you behave. The second you accept Christ, it's yours. Saved. No probation. Believe me, probation's not good. But God doesn't say, okay, let's see how you pan out. No. Day one, second one, you're accepted. Done. You don't have to live in fear that God would come one day and say, oh, wait, hang on, I made a mistake. Hang on, no. He doesn't change His mind. The benefits are, number one, you're free from deceptions by the devil. You know that one of the greatest strategies of the devil is to convince us that God's irritated with us. I witnessed with Courtney's testimony here. I used to feel like a longer, God's got to be irritated with me. I've done some dumb things in my life. Now I've got to make up. I've got to do these good things to make up for all the bad things. That's not the truth. God is not irritated with you. He wants to bless you. How many times? A gazillion times. And then even a gazillion after the gazillion. You see, but the strategy is that the devil will come and say, no, God's irritated with you, therefore he's your adversary. That's not true. Because the scripture tells me this, your adversary, the devil who prowls like a roaring lion. I have never read anywhere, your adversary, the Lord who prowls like a roaring lion. There's only one adversary, he is the devil. He will come to convince you that God is irritated with you. And what happens is, you draw away from God. If you're feeling someone, you walk around and you think, hey, that person, I think I'm irritating them. What do? You don't go up, how's it, my butt, and slap him on the back. He'd probably give you one. No, you stay away from him. If you think someone's irritating you, you stay out of their space. That's why the devil comes. God's irritated. Why? Stay out of God's space. But that's not what God says. He says, run to me, not from me. The devil will come and he'll whisper to you, God is very unhappy with you. You didn't pray this morning, and so today is going to be a nightmare. That's what he does. I'm telling you, somebody told me this once. I know him quite well. He said, Brad, I used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to have my quiet time, because if I didn't, then that day would not go well. I said, 4 o'clock, but how did you stay awake? I kid you not. He said, I stand over the bath like this and I read my Bible. He was so convinced that if he didn't have a quiet time, that day would not go well. I said, I want to give you some great advice. Sleep and do not read your Bible. Now please hear me. Please, don't get me wrong. We need to be in the Word of God. But if being in the Word of God means that you're doing some sort of work to earn His favor, then don't. I asked him the other day, a couple of weeks ago. I said, but how's it going with the Bible? He says, I can't get enough. I said, when are you reading it? He says, I find time. During the day, lunchtime, tea, I find time. I've got my Bible with me all the time. There's a freedom that comes. You know that, hang on. If you don't pray and don't read your Bible, you're going to come from under that umbrella of God. Here's a hot tip. God is not a Santam insurance umbrella. I'm covered, I'm not. I'm covered, I'm not. That, you're going to go nuts. Am I covered or aren't I? Only half. Uh-oh. Now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know what that's actually saying? No Santam insurance umbrella. That's what it says. If you interpret, no, I'm joking, but you know what I mean. We don't go in and out of His favor by what we do. It's been done already. Jesus is the beloved Son of God. Therefore, we are the beloved sons and daughters of God. Jesus gets baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. And a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. It's in Matthew 3:17. Immediately after being baptized, Jesus led into the desert and tempted by the devil. What does the devil say to Jesus? It says this, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Now you've got to recognize what our crafty face did there. He says, you are the Son of God. Yet, just a little bit before, God spoke from heaven, said, you are my beloved Son. He says, no, you're just the Son. You're just the Son. He dropped off the word beloved. It's interesting, the devil tempted Jesus to turn those stones into bread. What did Jesus say? I am the bread of life. There's a counterfeit. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, you'll live forever. Do you think it was a small mistake that the devil left off beloved? I don't think so. I think he was taunting Jesus. You're a son. No, I'm the beloved Son. See, it's exactly how the devil plays it out today. He'll tell you, you this or you that, but he will never remind you, you're the beloved Son or daughter of God. Never. He will never remind you. Because if he does, he's in trouble. You'll foil all his plans. You see, when we understand who we are in Christ, sin becomes unbearable. I don't want to do that anymore. People give their lives to sin when they feel rejected and unwanted. But when we come to this understanding, revelation of who we are in Christ, and this abounding grace that He pours out upon us, He gives us strength to overcome that dominion of sin in our lives. We are no more under the dominion of sin in our lives. When we realize how much God loves us and how precious we are, you won't want to waste your life engaging in sin. Because you'll see, it's a waste of my time. It's a waste of my life. The life that God gave me. You know that sin does bring destruction and calamity. We are tempted. But it doesn't have dominion over the believer's life. And we are able to resist temptation by the Holy Spirit. We are able to resist. Will we never sin? No, you will sin. And I'm not declaring it over you. No, we will sin. But by the grace of God, we will find ways and means to avoid that sin. There are parts in the Bible where the Scriptures say, run away. Do you know what that means? It's not a highfalutin language. It means run away. It means get your legs one in front of the other and run away. Very practical. Scripture's practical. You see that? Ha! Run! Hot tip. Run! Just run away. Then you can't do it. It's so easy. But what do? Oh, wait. Maybe. No. Run. Run. R-U-N. Not difficult. Run away. You see, we need to also settle this in our minds. God's accepted us. And what it does, it allows us to live in freedom. The acceptance of God, of who you are, will allow you to live in freedom. I tell you, you can see it. When this burden of this world's acceptance gets lifted off people, they physically change. They stand up straight. They smile a lot more. It's as if someone put a light bulb inside of them and turned it on. I've seen it. You see them, they're like, come alive. They are free from this burden that the world will place on people. And I tell you, it's easy to take it back. You can take that thing back. It's not gone forever. You've got to protect yourself. Say, hey, hang on. I don't need that in my life. It'll want to come back. It'll want to come back and rest. It likes to rest on shoulders. That is not who God wants us to be. When the truth hits them, they become a new creation. Not a new creationist. A new creation. It's as if you are born again. Remember, it was Nicodemus. You mean I'm going to be born again? Mm-hmm. Now, he battled with that at first. Hey, I'm a little bit big, you know what I mean? Hey. No, born again. Then he caught it. Oh, I understand. I'm a new creation. Yes. It's God honoring. When we take our lives and we hold them before the Lord. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm here. Here am I. Send me. Take me. Use me. You see, a correct view of ourselves gives God glory. When we think of ourselves in the right way, God is glorified. See, you don't gloss over the fact that apart from Jesus' finished work on the cross, God is going to judge those who reject the gift. There is judgment for those who reject the gift that God gives. But for those who receive it, judgment has already passed. You will not be judged for your sin. God created every single person on this planet. I've got to believe that He wants them to accept His gift. But they can choose to reject it. That's the scary part. People can choose to reject God's gift. Jesus did bear our sins on the cross. He did rise from the dead so that we would have life. And God's wrath against sin was fully satisfied. That's why He rose again. God was happy, thrilled at the sacrifice of Jesus. Do you know that God isn't glorified when we reject this offer of salvation? He's not glorified. But God sees us. When we accept that offer, He sees us through His Son. And it's a truth that has got to go deep, deep, deep down inside of us. We've got to know who we are in Christ. I tell you, there's a lot of people out there that don't know who they are. Just the other day, I saw some guy walking in the pavilion. He didn't know whether he was a girl or a boy. I'm telling you, he was walking past. He had no idea who he was. I wanted to go and ask him, give me your ID book. Why? I want to know who you are, because you don't. And it's such a pity that people don't know who they are. Let me tell you, there's some Christians that don't realize who they are. We haven't accepted this thing. This is who I am in Christ. It doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter what I look like. God accepts you for who you are. And here's a hot tip. We're all different. Every single one of us are different. Don't try and be like somebody else. Because God made them that way. He made you another way. Why? Because we needed you on the planet. I know you might think some people are just taking up oxygen. And hey, you know, I don't know about this guy. But God created him. Therefore, he has a purpose on this earth. You don't have to make a pilgrimage or climb a mountain to find God. Right where you are, sitting here right now, God can meet with you. Right now. Don't have to do anything special. Right now, just sit where you are. You can accept. Say, Lord, I want to give you my life. I believe in what your Son did on the cross. I believe He died and I believe He rose again. And I believe because He did that, you don't see my sin anymore. This issue of feeling guilty, I tell you, the devil will play you like a guitar. He wants us to feel guilty. Because when you feel guilty, you're ineffective for the kingdom. And I tell you, the message of grace is so easy to present to people. God loves you for who you are. You don't have these 8,000 rules. People think, oh, if I come to church, I've got to stop this and I've got to stop that. No. But let me tell you, before long, you'll see life in a whole different way. Why? Because it's almost like the chains have been released from your feet and from your hands. You ask any guy that's been chained up with his feet and his hands, when they release that, how do you feel? I tell you, it's like you've got birds on your feet and on your hands. There's such a freedom that comes. Just this evening, as we close, I really felt earlier on, just as we were praying and we were ministering, that there are people that feel they are bound. That's the one group. The other group is, if you do not know Jesus Christ, I'm going to say God wants to present this offer of grace to you, offer of His Son Jesus Christ. And if you're feeling bound, let me tell you, that is not God. That is the devil. If you're feeling guilty and condemned, that's not God. Let me make it clear, it's not God. I don't know how much more clear I can make. It's not God. It is the devil. Because if you are bound and guilty and condemned, you're ineffective in the kingdom. And He doesn't want you effective in the kingdom. Moms and dads, I also want to implore to you, we have a responsibility to our children to accept them for who they are. The same way that we have had that revelation from God of who we are in God's eyes, we need to apply that grace as best we can, as humanly possible, to our children. Because when they come into that freedom, God is able to use them to their fullest. Why don't you just bow your head? If there's anyone here this evening that has never, ever given their life to the Lord, and what I mean by that is believed in what Jesus did on the cross. It's very easy. You have to believe in what Jesus did on the cross. He died as a sacrifice for you and rose again that you would have eternal life. So say, Lord, I accept that. I accept the gift that you're offering me this evening. God gives it free. Comes with no strings attached. If that's you, say, Lord, I want to accept this gift that you're giving freely to me this evening. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that you've poured out upon me. And I accept it. Just as I am, I accept it. Lord, I pray for those people that your Spirit right now, Lord, would come and it would dwell within them. That, Lord, there would be a transformation in their hearts. I thank you, Lord, for your word that is true. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. If you are condemned or feeling guilty this evening, in Jesus' name, I pray it lifts. I pray and I ask, Lord, for your freedom to come in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for our youth. Thank you, Lord, for our children. I pray, Father, that as parents, Lord, that we would extend this grace that we have received, Lord, as best as we can, as natural parents. I ask, Lord, that you give us the wisdom to impart that to our children. Lord, that we would accept them for who they are. Encourage them in their gifts and their talents and in the things of the kingdom. And Lord, for us, we ask, Lord, that when the devil would come, crafty old face would come and want to accuse us and condemn us, pray, Father, that we would remember what You've done, that we are acceptable in Your sight. Lord, we don't have to strive. We don't have to get points to make You happy with us. Lord, You're really happy with us. I pray, Father, that we would not come under condemnation and guilt because of the accuser. That, Lord, that we would be free. Our feet would be free to run. Our hands would be free to be used in the kingdom for Your glory and none other. Thank You, Lord. Lord, as we go from here, pray, Father, we'd have opportunities to tell people about You. To tell people about this wonderful gospel of grace. We thank You, Lord, for the empowering of Your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. There's tea and coffee.